to just remain on the line. We will get to you as we go through this hearing this morning. You'll be hearing next from the Honorable David Hill.
Good morning, everybody. Officer Anderson, can Mr. Bolt hear this conversation?
I'm sorry, what?
Can Mr. Bolt hear this conversation?
No, I have to hand him the phone. There's not a speaker on that.
Okay. If you don't mind, would you put him on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right, sir?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Your voice is a little weak, but I understand why. So if I have trouble hearing you, I'm just asking you to repeat, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. If there's anything going on from this end or any of the other people, if you came here, just speak up and we'll make sure that you understand what's going on. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm going over some information on this to begin with, and then we'll get down to talk to the doctors and give me prognosis and everything.
So, okay. Mr. Hill, could you have him just state his name as ADC number?
It's my name.
Okay.
Okay, sir. So for the record, would you please state your full name and your ADC number?
My name is Brandon Joseph Bolt, and my ADC number is 299035.
Thank you, sir. Okay, you appear for the area on the board of executive clemency this morning in reference to a phase two convocation hearing, which is brought about by imminent danger of death. I'm going to introduce the board members that will be conducting the hearing this morning. We have the Honorable Rittenhouse, the Honorable Michael Johnson, who is acting as chair at this time. We have the Honorable Lee Norris, and my name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead.
Okay,
so looks like you're 29 years old, and you're serving an 8-year sentence for luring a minor for sexual purposes. And that was cause CR 2013-1307. And then after that, they'll have a lifetime probation for sexual exploitation of a minor in the cause number 2014-0047.
Right.
And just the basic synopsis of what happened was you was the internet, you were trying to lure some underage victims into some sexual activities. Police were able to track down after one of the victims went to the police and complained about what was going on. Since you've been incarcerated, he's quite a number of years with him along, and had no complication, no limitation, nothing, and then we're able to go back because we feel good, and he had exactly the same thing you have. And so as far as whether or not he had it before you were incarcerated, if you did, you want to just plain symptoms that were debilitating or anything. So I would just say, you developed it since you've been incarcerated. All of your this is acute undifferential leukemia. And with that, your bone marrow doesn't produce the things it's supposed to produce to maintain your immune system, so you have to have infusion of blood products to rebuild your immune system, and of course, because your bone marrow doesn't replace any of that. That's a continuing process in and out. At this time, according to the paper we have, the only treatment option is an allogenic stem cell transplant, which is not available while we're in DLC. And without that, your life expectancy is under 4 months. Let's see, I think I said that. Your immune system is maintained at less than a normal state by continuing infusions to your blood. You're asking for the commutation of the rest of the 8-year sentence and your lifetime probation because of your illness.
Also, too, is I understand I have to do registration, but say I get released from DOC's custody, and then how am I supposed to register? I'm still going to be in the hospital. And then traveling to California to be present with my family, and they're going to take over and stuff like that. I'm still going to constantly be in the hospital. And I don't I don't know how that's going to work out with the registration.
Those are things to be concerned about later on in the hearing or after we made a decision, because at this one time, number of issues are relevant, because, you know, we haven't forwarded this to the governor, and the governor hasn't agreed to any commutation yet.
Right.
There are a lot of people that would have to be worked out with this. A lot of things you're talking about, that's what you need to do for your CO3 on your incarcerated to find out those details. And some of the registration.
May I speak? Is this mom?
You have an opportunity to later in the hearing, then.
Okay.
Right now, I'm addressing Mr. Bolton, and we'll go through the process.
Okay.
All right. Well, no problem. So I think at this time, because the issue here is not really the original crime and sentencing, but the your health issues and the prognosis. And I'll also say that my cousin eventually, he was being treated, and then he did the same thing with the stem cells grant, and he did quite well. So work from what I read and what I've heard, with that transplant, it may not work. It could, you know, it may not be something that actually works, but if it works, it is seeming fairly well. And if you get that transplant and your system will start working at least somewhat properly, you know, maybe in a depressed state, but, you know, if your bone marrow starts producing the things you need for your immune system and your blood, then you could have life expectancy, which is quite a bit more than what's left on your prison sentence, and being moved to your lifetime probation. So there are a lot of things we have to discuss. I think at this time, so we have a little bit of understanding of the medical situation, it'd be probably a good time to talk to the doctors. And if Dr. is it you've been the primary caregiver for a couple of months now, correct, sir?
Yes, sir. I've been taking care of Brandon since the day he came into the hospital over 100 days ago with this condition. So I could probably simply say I know his condition better than anybody else at this point.
Okay. Well, we rely a lot on Dr. Lavelle, but when we get the attending physician, it's probably easier to get all the correct information and get it convinced to us. He's been in the hospital now for over 100 days.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, I'd be more than happy to. Obviously, it's leukemia. The things we're talking about are highly specialized diseases that in Dr. Lavelle's been amazingly is on with you guys, but I really appreciate the opportunity to, for you guys to hear it directly from me. So just my background is I am a medical oncologist, hematologist, and I focus my career exclusively on acute leukemia and stem cell transplants in the city of Phoenix. I am one of about 11 doctors in the city of Phoenix, so basically the state of Arizona, who focuses on this. So it is really fortunate that Brandon wound up under our care, because we are probably the biggest acute leukemia center in the state of Arizona. And this is what I spend my entire career doing, is taking care of patients like Brandon, getting them through their leukemia, getting them through their transplant. And as the excellent experience you've seen with your relative, you know that this can be a long-term curative process. So Brandon's variation of acute leukemia is a very rare one. It's called acute undifferentiated leukemia. It probably comprises only 2 to 3% of all acute leukemias, and it is one that we know has a very, very poor prognosis. So when you identify someone with acute undifferentiated leukemia, your goal is to get them into a remission and then immediately follow that up with a stem cell transplant. We gave Brandon a very intense chemotherapy, which wiped out his bone marrow flora, which was, and we expect count recovery in about 30 days. When we got to that 30-day mark, we had seen that he wiped out much of the leukemia, but not all of it, and there was enough leukemia left where we said that this will progress, so we have to do a second round of chemotherapy. We then proceeded with a second round of chemotherapy, which we initiated. That was initiated about 65 days ago. In the 65 days since Brandon's second round of chemotherapy, the good news is we have no evidence that there was any active leukemia. However, the disappointing thing and the unfortunate thing, which sometimes happens when you give someone what we call a reinduction, is that we wipe out all of the healthy cells too. And now that he is 2 months out from his last chemo, I think it is safe to say that his normal blood counts are never going to spontaneously recover. So while we have wiped out all of the leukemia, we have also probably wiped out all of his healthy bone marrow, which means that he cannot make red blood cells and platelets, meaning he would be essentially transfusion dependent for life. And most importantly, we've also wiped out his white blood cells, his immune system, meaning that it is impossible that he lives long-term without ultimately picking up a fatal infection. As we've had him in the hospital, we monitor his vitals every 4 hours. We have him on powerful antibiotics to keep away infection. But these measures that we're taking in the hospital to prevent infection just simply aren't translatable out into the real world. So the fix for this is actually a very simple fix. It is the procedures you described in allogeneic stem cell transplant, where we actually find Brandon a donor who has identically matched stem cells and essentially infuse stem cells into Brandon and regrow a whole new immune system, a whole new blood system in Brandon's body. Just replace his defective or defunct immune system, blood system, with that of a healthy donor. This is a curative procedure. This is something that with Brandon's young age and otherwise exceptional health and exceptional family support, I would estimate his long-term survival at greater than 80%. And by that, I mean long-term survival. I mean he lives out the rest of his life as if this never happened. And I have countless success stories of young, healthy patients in their 20s who are now 10 years later sending me Christmas cards and pictures of their kids. So this is a real cure that we're talking about. This procedure is extremely intense, and it requires an unbelievable amount of supportive care. It means you have to be living within several miles of your transplant center for up to 6 months after your transplant. You need clinic visits 3 or 4 times a week. You need a family member serving as caregiver who is your full-time 24/7 support. And it is for these reasons that just performing a stem cell transplant in someone incarcerated 40 miles away from our center just isn't something reasonable. So I look at the first step towards Brandon getting this life-saving transplant as his compassionate release from incarceration, which will then open the door for us to be able to pursue the next step in his treatment, which is pursuing the stem cell transplant as soon as possible.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions about that.
Yes, sir.
Number one, Mr. Bolt mentioned in California.
So... at this time, his mother lives in California. She is actually relocated very close to one of the best bone marrow transplant programs in the country, in California. So there are logistics to work out. Generally, we want a patient to get the transplant where their best support is. And if Brandon's mother and family is in California, then going to California to get the transplant would be our first choice for him because that's where his support is. Now, we do have to work out some logistics and details, as in how soon could he acquire California insurance, because depending on that time lag, there could be a lag between his release and him obtaining California insurance. And if that is a several-week delay, we could probably work with that. If that is a several-month delay, then the idea of him being in California with no ability to follow up, with no access to health care for several months, would not be a safe situation. So me and Brad have already had some conversations, and I've had some early ones with his mother also, about if we ran into that possibility, what are the options of him coming to getting his transplant done locally with me in Arizona. That would require family members coming here to be a support system. But my understanding was that he would be established with Access Arizona-based insurance, essentially upon his release. And so if we use that to get the process rolling and then have an eventual transfer over to California, that may be a possibility. So these are a lot of logistics that me and Brad and his mother are going to have to work through, but it all starts with understanding, one, is he going to be released, and then two, I'm going to start working with case managers and social workers at the California transplant program to find out exactly how quickly can he get California insurances, and that should dictate where his care takes place upon his release.
Now, when asked for basically the commutation of the entire sentence and the probation, inmates get released on parole and community supervision, and they're still under the direction of DOC, but they qualify to get access and driver's license, all that stuff, but they're still technically, you know, part of the Department of Corrections. So as to whether we would recommend, you know, everything being wiped out, or whether it would be, you know, community jail time, but still be attached to community supervision, or the lifetime probation, that's not the issue itself to you, right, Robert?
No, I mean, I need to, that would not be, as long as it wasn't a barrier towards him having some insurance and him having access to the healthcare he needs, the status of his, you know, probation and those kind of things down the road, as long as they didn't pose immediate barriers to us doing what we had to do, that's not something that I'm probably not in the best position to speak for, as long as it didn't limit his access to insurance and his access to healthcare.
Well, I know that organ transplants, inmates can't get on a transplant list while they're actually incarcerated, but our understanding is that if they're going on parole or community, we're not behind bars, with all that sort of stuff. There's a half of them to make sure that
Yes, with the process of us filing in a stem cell donor is a little bit different than finding a solid organ recipient.
Mm-hmm.
But if he were released on some sort of probation, then I don't think I don't think that would be a barrier. Now again, we would have to make sure that if he were released on an Arizona probation, the ultimate plan is for him to get to California. We have to make sure that that couldn't be a limiting factor towards him possibly getting California insurance, the ability to go to California. So I think that's something I can't speak to about how you can cross state lines and get residences in other states if you're on probation for months.
The lifetime probation, I'm not sure whether, I don't think it's a whole lot more than just the transfer, but since it's not just a sex registration, it's a probation, it's a little bit different than registering for sex. So that, even if you have declaration of there, is that registry when you get there?
Correct.
You know,
gotcha.
But as far as community supervision, that type of deal, those, yeah, it's called interstate compact, but you know, it has to be applied for and go through the process. Every other state has to accept the person, and you know that. But it's not something that happens real quick, but it's a process that, you know, an inmate or offender goes through to get permission to go to another state where you're staying with that, or you know, sometimes they want to get very vulnerable because of the people they're looking for. With bad intent, you know, those sort of things. But anyway, it's still a possibility. We have to consider, one of the things we have to really consider is in these imminent danger of death situations, there are some conditions out there. The person is, it's a matter of time, in a very short time before they're going to expire, and there's not really nothing new except if we let them out, they go to hospice and their family takes care of them for their final days. for the veterans, like in this case, where he has a potential being out there for 50 more years outside of prison, and there's a purpose for those lifetime probations and community supervision. So you have to, you know, we have to look at that and it's the if side of it, you know. So if he's released on community supervision, is what this kind of a release will be. If he is actually let out, then the community supervision terms are set by the PO. So
understood. And that's the kind of thing where I could easily have that conversation, because for him to get a sexual transplant, for example, it would require an additional 1 month hospitalization. So obviously, you can't be meeting with a PO on a weekly basis in the hospital for a month. Those are all logistics, I think, that we would be.
On community supervision, PO's are very easy to work with, really. If they, in a situation like this, if he was released out there, the condition of release would probably the contact would be the telephone, and the family would be super often because they'll be in the hospital and all that. They're not going to require him, in his condition, to go to the parole office, you know. They're very easy to work with on that. And, they want to see him succeed. And I know that when my cousin was in the hospital, he was very careful. The hospital staff were very careful when they got come in the room, too, because there's no immune system. And that's one of the biggest dangers right now, is they catch a cold or something. Okay, so all things as they are, if Mr. Bolt was to have to remain an inmate, whereas if he gets healthy enough to go back to the prison, he would have to go back there under those conditions. So in other words, if he doesn't get transplant, what would you say his life expectancy is at this point in time?
Well, even in the hospital, with him getting 24/7 monitoring, he has still picked up several bacterial infections in the course of, the 3 months here, which we have been able to jump on quickly and get the proper antibiotics going. If he were to have to go back to the prison in this condition where he has no immune system, he would require multi-week visits with me from at least 3 times a week simply for just transfusional support, so he doesn't have some complications of low blood counts, bleeding complications from recruitment. So he would require multi-time-a-week supportive care just for that. But then the problem of him having no immune system, if even in the hospital with this level of monitoring, he still is picking up roughly one serious infection a month, the chances of him having any long-term chance of picking up no infections incarcerated is virtually zero. So my expectation is, if Brandon were sent back to prison, even if I had him on the best oral antibiotics I can come up with, within 1 to 2 weeks at most, he would find himself picking up a very serious infection, winding himself back up in the hospital. And eventually, even if I treat that infection and then release him back to prison, the next month's going to knock him down even more. And one of those infections over time is going to be a fatal event. And that's why I believe that in these situations where people have no immune system, no hope for recovery, when I run into the situation in an 85-year-old person, I tell them their life expectancy is probably not more than a month or two or three, because one of these infections will ultimately be fatal. So my life, that's why I don't see any optimistic long-term outcome survival chance for Brandon if he does not have an avenue to get this transplant. The idea of just send him back to prison and keep him around for as long as he can and hope infections stay away, it's just unfortunately a long-term plan with zero success that will ultimately result in the end of his life within a matter of months.
Okay, and you said that if you're successful finding them, and with the stem cell transplant, you said an 80% chance that it'll be successful?
Yes, in a young, healthy person, so a 25-year-old person with no other medical problems, so Brandon has no other medical problems when he came into the hospital, and with an excellent family support, which is one of the most important variables of a successful transplant, a parent who can be there as a 24-hour day caregiver, and with the access to the excellent transplant program depends which sort of plan, either with our program or with the one that they've chosen in California. In a young, healthy person, this should be a situation where we can look at this and say, your long-term survival should be about 4 in 5 patients should be long-term survivors. About 80% is my estimate on his long-term success.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions for you.
Yeah, I think we have some practical ones. Is Dr. Abbas? Or is it Abbas?
Yes, sir.
Abbas? Abbas, pardon me, sir. I'm sorry, what is your full name again?
Say that one more time, sir.
Your full name, sir? What is your full name?
I'm sorry. Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, middle name Asif, A-S-I-F, last name Abbas, A-B-B-A-S.
And are you a D-O or M-D? And this is just
my title. I'm an M-D.
An M-D?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. These particulars become important should we have to write a letter. And number, you work for which organization again?
I am with Banner, B-A-N-N-E-R, M-D, Anderson, in Gilbert, Arizona.
It's quite a nice facility out there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I've been here for about a year, and it's absolutely stunning. I'm very, very lucky to be here. It's a wonderful place.
Thank you, Doctor. I just want to make sure that we have the right information.
Absolutely. And Dr. Liddell can follow up with me if you need my license number or any of these sort of things. I'm happy to provide whatever supplemental information I can get you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, that should be sufficient, sir. Okay, there's no other questions from the board. I don't think that Dr. Liddell can add much, but Dr. Liddell, is there anything you would like to add on medical side?
No, I think everything has been, everything that's been said, it came from the right source, so no, I have nothing up there.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Mr. Bolt.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you don't sound like you feel well, and I can understand why. Usually, we spend some time talking about the original offense, but I don't think we really dwell on it. It's a huge issue at this time. So, is there anything you can do right now? I don't think that I have got any real questions for you. I don't understand what this whole thing is all about, the medical procedures and all that stuff. But if you were released but out to community supervision, which after a certain amount of time we're sentence you government for that anyway, it would be a process to go to California. It sounded like a big process to go to California in the first place, just because the doctor doesn't let you out unless you can go to a treatment center and you need the insurance and all that good stuff. It is a problem. So, in your mind, is that a huge issue to you that you might have to spend the next 6 or 8 months in treatment in Arizona?
Yeah, it would be, because honestly, I have no family support out here. I have no one to look after me and really to watch over me. I would have to be in the hospital for that time period, and I have a nearest family member is in Kingman, Arizona, and that's about 3 to 4 hours away. They would have to move up here, and they're my grandparents. They're at least in their 70s already, and honestly to me, I don't know how long their time would come up to, but I don't think they have. They also have their own life down there. So my thing is I really have no family support up here to watch over me, take care of me, and stuff like that. That's why I plan to move to California, because, for one, my mother and my stepfather plan to watch over me, take care of me, plan to give me a caregiver, make sure I get to the hospital the day I need to be there, and make sure I'm there for my transplant as well.
Okay, because I understand my cousin's wife spent a lot of hours in the hospital, and like 60 miles away from where she lived, so.
Mm-hmm.
But usually in that part of the treatment, especially early on with the transplant, somebody has to, they want some kind of family support there 24/7 at the hospital. And not very far away, and somebody that's eight hours away with their regular household if they can't come over here and stay. But also, you understand that the board collects all this information and then we decide whether or not we'll recommend to the governor that something should be done with your sentencing, and that even if we recommend that you will be released and no commission or anything like that, it's not up to us, it's up to the governor whether he would sign off on any kind of release and what conditions and everything else are acceptable.
Correct.
I can't speak for anybody but myself, but I'm not. There's a good prognosis for you if you get this stem cell transplant. With that, I have to go back to your sentence, and if you had something that they said, no matter what, you got 6 months to a year is all you got left, it would even say, well, we need your lifetime probation, or we get rid of community supervision on release. But when there's this type of prognosis, where there's a very good chance that this whole thing will be successful, and you'll have a good amount of life out there, as one voting member, I have an issue with just the flat release and you're done with everything. So, but if you were to be released from community supervision and apply to California, and California said, yeah, you can come over there for your supervision, and some inmates were released on community supervision and their conditions required them to call the PO about once a month. I mean, it can be that loose. And if you're going to be in the hospital, it's going to be pretty well going to be a deal just until your treatment is over again. But right now, I'm seeing if you would like to add anything, and we'll go from there. Okay, sir?
Well, I had a couple questions before she started.
Go ahead.
From my understanding is, say I do get on probation and you just guys release me from the prison and the community supervision. Once they release me from here, my mother plans to take me straight out there to get to an ER to set me up, see if the whole insurance can work a lot faster, to where if I stay over here for a little bit longer for them to actually accept me, I don't know if this facility is willing to keep me a couple days longer. I don't know if, those are the questions that I really don't know about, and I'm pretty sure they wouldn't mind it. I don't know. But from being discharged from this hospital, going to another hospital, my mother plans to, from this hospital, we're getting discharged from this hospital, and then going to a different hospital in California. But then you guys say, he's got to wait a couple more weeks till Arizona and California says it's okay for him to be transferred out there. In my situation, that's why I'm asking for the probation to be off. That's because to me, my doctor, to me, myself, and my mother, and my other family support, they really don't want to waste any time at this, and they want to push forward with my situation. situation and everything like that.
Yeah, this is Dr. Abbas, just weighing in one more time. I agree. If Brandon being on probation upon his release has the potential to delay his ability to receive access to health care, as in to be how expedited he can get an Arizona-based insurance, or most importantly, how expedited he can get a California-based insurance, then I think it's very reasonable that we ask that be waived, so that he can, because like, I mean, a lot of these are details that we work out once you release, the how much more time do you spend in this facility. I can guarantee you the day you are granted your release, I still have additional testing and stuff to do with you in the hospital, as long as you're going to get your release, and then you're going to be out of the hospital the next day. We're going to do our diligence to make sure that all the situations are covered and we have a rock solid plan. But I do agree that if him having to be released while still on some sort of probation is another hurdle that the state of California is going to have to work through before they can grant him a California-based insurance, then that certainly has the possibility to be detrimental to his care, so that should be taken into account by the board.
Okay, thank you, Doctor. Mrs. Bink?
Huh? Okay.
This is Crunk. Okay. I didn't hear the last name. So anyway, Brandon's murder. That is a correct title, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
so
one of you is I'm gonna tell us what you'd like to tell us, but before you ask and start, go ahead and state your full name, please.
Nancy Aguilar Crunk.
Okay.
So when I went to visit Brandon, I knew something was wrong and I told him to get help. Now you guys are gonna hear my heartbreak as a mother to see my child going through this, and I'm so far away. And I can't do anything to help him. I have done all of my research. I need to get him out here right away to get him on Medi-Cal insurance. I've already contacted the City of Hope. I'm 38 miles away from the City of Hope. My employer is doing everything they can, knowing I have to take off on FMLA. They know everything I need to do to make sure my son survives. Now, you know, I understand he did something that was wrong, and I have mentioned that to my son many times. But I am doing everything in my power right now to make sure my son survives. And I need to get him out here because Brandon mentioned he has family there already out in Kingman, Arizona, but they haven't been in contact with him. His father doesn't even keep in contact with them. I am the only support right now for him. So I need him here because this is where my life is established, and I need to get my son here as soon as possible. And get the kind of treatment he needs to do. I've already researched everything I need to do, but the longer we delay, the longer the bad cells are going to come back. And as a mother, I don't want to see my son go through this. It's heartbreaking already that I was in the Department of Corrections and having to see my son in restraint and going there. I mean, I have to say that the Department of Corrections has been nice enough to let me call my son every day because I've been granted visitation. That they told me it would never happen, and it was by the grace of God that that happened. So right now, I don't like seeing my son like that in this illness. Do you know how heartbreaking it is to see my son in restraint and guards there, who have been kind, but to see my son with this illness, that's not something a mother wants to see. And to know that we don't know if this stem cell transplant will work, but I want to see my son get through this. And I understand he's got to pay for the consequences and the choices he's made. But he can't even get to a probation. You know, I don't want to get him to a probation. I don't want to risk anything. So, as the doctors have mentioned to me, he's going to pretty much live in a bubble. I mean, he's pretty much going to be in prison as it is, once he's, whatever decision is made. He will live in a bubble. and that's pretty much prison and in a hospital and, you know, all that he's going to have to go through. So as a mother, this is breaking my heart. And I don't know how it would feel if somebody else's... It was your child. I'm sorry, but I'm angry and I'm hurt. And I'm so far away that I can't even be there for him. So it hurts a lot. And we have no inclination that this was even going to happen. So I ask for mercy right now, please. Just let me get to my son so he can get the treatment he needs. I can't wait for interstate contact. I can't wait very long for anything. I am already, I've got all my ducks in a row ready to get him out here. Ready to get him over there to Duarte. Me and my husband just bought a house so we could make sure it was sterile and clean for my son.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, Matt. As far as getting him medically in California,
I can't get him. Well, go ahead.
The system that you that they have in California, I'm not familiar with the overall system, but it's like you're going to try to be on a Medicaid situation, like access.
It's similar. So what it is, the state of California, they won't put him on Medi-Cal until he's here. So my goal is to get him to an ER because he's going to need the blood and the platelets. So it's called emergency Medi-Cal. Once he's established Medi-Cal, then they can transfer it over into what's called IEHP. Once he's transferred there, I get him over to the City of Hope, but City of Hope takes IEHP. So I am going to be probably a pain in the butt to all these doctors, nagging them and letting them know the importance that what he needs to do in order to survive to get him over to the City of Hope so he can get this transplant. But the longer we're waiting for this, the bad cells are going to come back. A donor takes a month. So the longer we're waiting, it could get worse. And I already
And Matthew, this is Dr. Abbas signing in. I just want to reassure you, I know many doctors at City of Hope, and I am going to be, it's not going to be like you're going to be walking into an ER and no one's ever heard of him. I am going to make sure that the entire leukemia team knows Brandon is coming, exactly what his condition is, and that they are already preemptively getting all their ducks in a row to expedite this. So it's not just going to be a random walk into the ER situation. We're going to do our diligence before he ever sets foot out of this hospital to expedite this process. We will have a doctor chosen who's aware of him, who knows he's coming, who's putting in a plan. So the minute he hits California, we get to walk the ball rolling.
Thank you.
I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm just emotional. This has been a very hard thing for me these last 4 months, seeing him, and it's been heartbreaking.
Don't apologize for being a woman. You don't need to apologize to a woman if you call some really bad names. And you can't do that. So, I understand that. I know that. No kids are on that account. I'm sure everybody on the empathize with what you're going through now. But it's also difficult for us too because we have to consider more than just your son in this. And let me see, any other if you would also like to speak on Mr. Bolt's behalf? Okay, I'm
going to
go. Mr. Johnson has a question or comment or something.
Mr. Bolt?
Yes, sir.
Sir, so are you saying that you only want to be released if you can be released to go to California with no supervision or probation?
Repeat that again, I'm sorry.
Are you saying that you only want to be released if you can go to California with no supervision or probation?
Am I sad or?
No, is is that what you're asking us to do?
Oh, yeah. Because, like I said before, is say you guys do release me from prison, but then I also have to do probation. Like, if there's no really time to wait. As soon as this hospital discharges me, my mother plans to take me to an ER, which my primary doctor, Dr. Boss, is going to be setting up after or upon my release. What doctor is he going to get a hold of? This, and what hospital he's going to get a hold of? But during that time frame, I know there's a process, but what if Arizona doesn't want me to go, or what if Arizona's taking a little bit longer, or what if California's taking a little bit longer? That's why I'm asking for the probation as well, because I know I don't want to waste any time. My mom doesn't want to waste any time. They want to pursue and keep on going with this to where as soon as I get discharged from this hospital, my mom's saying, okay, well, they have their final discussion with the doctor and say, okay, my doctor's going to tell my mom, this is the hospital you need to get to. This is the doctor that will be seeing you in a couple of days. And from there on, you know, that's when I say goodbye to this hospital and transfer to a new hospital right away. I'm hoping to get released early in the morning, so that's why later on at night when I go get to California and to the hospital I need to get to, I'm going to be in the ER as soon as possible. I'm not going to wait a couple of days. I'm going to be from going from one hospital from a five-hour drive probably, and then get back into another hospital.
Okay, so Mr. Bowen, my understanding, and I could be wrong from listening to Dr. Abbas. Abbas. That there's an 80% chance that after the transplant and your medical treatment, sir, that you will be living a regular productive life after that. And
yeah,
you're on a lifetime probation, sir, so you're asking us to, once you're cured and living a regular life, that there's a reason that you have the lifetime probation, sir. And you're asking us just to do away with that.
Right.
If I can weigh in, I think we want to be careful about attaching too many conditions to Brandon's potential release. This is Dr. Abbas again, because that was a bit of a loaded question that was asked to him, because it was saying, Brandon, are you only willing to want to be released if it's under X, Y, and Z conditions? And as his medical doctor, my recommendation is, you know, we work out those logistics of where he goes once he's free. And, you know, if the answer was California will never accept him and it's get a transplant in Arizona or die, from what I've seen of his family, they would find a way to get him the support in Arizona that he needs. So getting hung up, and I know Brandon is very focused on a lot of these conditionals, and this is what we want to happen. But again, the first step to, it's not my job to tell Brandon what conditions of his release he's willing to or not willing to accept. But I also think that it's inherently dangerous to say, once we start putting conditions on, I want to be released, and I want to go here, and I need to go here, and I can't have any probation. Those are inherent potential barriers to more healthcare treatment. So it might just be keeping it fairly simple. These are all things that we can work out once the release is granted. Probation, whether probation is there or not, and I totally understand where the board is coming from and saying, well, if we're telling us that Brandon's going to be alive for 50 years, is it appropriate for us to waive 50 years of probation? Absolutely. That's not for me to say, but if there is some ability to not allow any short-term probations to impede with his health care and then deal with probation 3 years from now when he's cured of leukemia and a healthy 28-year-old kid, maybe I just want to make sure, Brandon, that we're not attaching enough conditions that's going to make people wary of your release, because the bottom line is nothing happens without this release. Nothing positive can happen for your health without this release, and I think that's where the focus needs to be, worrying about things like probation and stuff down the road.
Thank you, Bobby.
Okay, go.
I do want to say a couple of things here, since we're, you know, really into the meat of this condition to release and everything. The offenses that were, that was, that Mr. Bolt was convicted of are in the, they fall into the category of sexual predators. And that's why the sentencing was set up like it was with lifetime probation. And because it's that type of crime, and it's with young girls that fall into a pedophile category as far as, you know, somebody trying to live with an intersexual conduct, that's really serious. And, you know, there's a person there who, and I would hope that it is all successful with the transplant, and then he has a long, productive life of that, but even if he doesn't have a doctor. But in the realm of sexual predators, we really need to keep close watch on people. And I can't say that the government would agree with it. But in my experience with the commutations that he has granted, this is, I don't think he would go for something less than the lifetime probation being intact. But there again, with that kind of situation, the paper process on release, it takes some time before he can be released and need a matter. So there still is some time to work that out. And his brother could find out from California probation people what it takes to get the information and watching over his probation. But basically, an unsupervised probation, so it's not like they have to, you know, have somebody available if you need to talk to Mr. Bolt. So, I mean, the other consideration we really have to go through, yeah, not only Mr. Bolt's health, we have to look out for the welfare of the citizens of the state of Arizona, especially our children. So, Mr. Bolt, I think that we're nearing the end of your hearing. So again, before the board goes into discussion, we make any kind of determination, we might give you an opportunity to make a final statement, tell us anything else you think we might need to know to make a good, valid decision. Mm-hmm. And then once you're done with that, we'll go into discussion and talk about it, okay?
Okay. So, you know, I understand I committed a crime, and I understand that, you know, it was horrible for me to commit this crime to where it is a punishment for me, and to me, only serving pretty much half my sentence. You know, I've actually learned a lot in getting my GED in prison and, you know, trying to turn my life around and going through the prison process and then now also through a cancer process, it's pretty much given me a whole different outlook on life where, you know, I want to go back to school. I want to do different things in my life. I don't want any really negativity in my life anymore, even though it's hard to say it's all around us, but I think it would be a lot easier for me to push it away, since from being in the prison, I pushed away a lot of negativity in the prison, so I think it would be a lot easier for me to push it away from me in the real world. Just my main focus after this transplant's done, you know, I plan to get back into college. I plan to try and live a normal life to where, you know, this thing is going to be looking back at me and saying, you know, what if the stem cell transplant doesn't work 3, 4, or 5 years down the line, then I get these leukemia cells back in my body and I have to go back through the whole entire process all over again. And that's what I'm afraid of in my life, and that's what my mom's afraid of, and you know, this is a type of leukemia from what I'm hearing my doctor saying. This is a very rare type of leukemia that hearing from different doctors, some doctors have never seen it. Some doctors only hear about it a couple times. And just hearing that, it's a scary process. And to me, like I'm trying to tell you guys, you know, I think I've learned my lesson, but at the same time, you know, going through the whole prison process, it was very difficult for me to see my mother cry, to see her, and, you know, being away from family. And don't get me wrong, I have two children of myself, and sitting there crying, like, am I ever going to be with my children ever again? And yes, they're younger than me. They're both 6 years old. And, you know, I plan to get in their life again after this whole entire thing is done and over with. Now, I understand that the whole, if I stay on probation, is that going to be affected with my children? And I don't know that. And, you know, I do plan to see my children because, you know, later on down the line, what if the leukemia comes back and then next thing you know, I only have a couple months to live? Then what? And that's just my whole understanding. And some things I understand, some things I don't understand, to where that's what I'm always scared of right now. And what if it does come back and I only have a certain amount of time to live? And being on probation, from my understanding, is, you know, I understand that I committed a serious crime. And, of course, maybe I would probably need some supervision to show you guys that, you know, this person regrets what he's done and regrets that everything in your eyes, showing you guys, that, you know, he regrets everything. And honestly, I do regret the things that I've done. And I'm not proud of everything that I've done in my entire life. And just from there on, you know, I hope you guys, and I hope the governor sees that, you know, he can lift these things off of me, and just hoping that I can go on with my life. And yeah, I understand I'm probably still going to have to register. I'm hoping I don't have to, but I don't know how that's going to work out, because in my perspective, as soon as I get out there, my mom's talking to me about the DMV has to come to me and make sure I get a California ID and make sure and all this stuff. And maybe I can tell them right then and there I have to register, but as soon as I get out there, how long are they willing to wait before I have to register out there? And just those certain questions that I'm still going with myself and trying to talk to my mother about and everything. And she doesn't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to work out. And I'm hoping you guys that, you know, you can take all these things off of me. But in the end, I know I'm still going to be attached to something, and that's going to be a felony record. So, that's just pretty much what I had to say, so.
Okay, thank you, sir. I would say, before we go into the discussion, so that you understand, the registering as a sex offender is a third issue. It's not just part of the other two, it's a third issue. So, to eliminate that, we have to ask the governor to commute your prison sentence, to commute your lifetime probation, and to commute your sex offender registration. So there are three different issues as far as, you know, everything. Some of the things that you discussed that the board really has no control over, you have to get to the governor And if the governor should decide to file a recommendation, whether or not to, sentence is commuted or eliminated, even a pardon doesn't take it off your record. It's always going to show it's a felony conviction. So, but it is, it is heartening to hear that you've having given a proposal and the honor of the students at Attorney's Grant has, it's a positive thing, and I will be around there likely, and I need to deal with the issue. Which is good. So, at this time, the board is going to discuss and make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves, unless we specifically say something to you, we won't be addressing you, or we may have been at the time. So we ask you to stand forward, let's get a conversation, and once we make a decision, we'll get back to you. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Okay. The board is now in discussion. And I'm going to ask Dr. Voss to stay on the phone at this time in case there are any medical questions we have before we make a decision. Okay, sir? So, the board is now in discussion. This is a very tragic situation. And my cousin's still going through. He has recovered, but he was very successful with the process of the chemotherapy and getting ready for stem cell transplant. And then that process, that is a wonderful facility in which we're going to design it. An interesting field where they treat this sort of thing. But it is a long process. They do prefer to have a family member there pretty much 24/7. It doesn't have to be totally, but my cousin's wife's going to be worried with her time back. And that occasionally, there are some things that haven't been done. But it's a long process. It can be a very successful process, and that's where the part of our issue comes to what we need to sign today. If Mr. Bullock had a prognosis of, say, 4 to 6 months, and that was all there was to it, there wouldn't be any future to worry about as far as the best interests of the Western society. But very good chance this being successful and going on to live a very productive life. And with that, I am not comfortable with the recommendation that we're doing. I don't know how the lifetime probation is done as far as transfer to the physical world. And I'm sure there's a good way of contact that would be a recommendation to transfer like that. But the sex offender registration, I think, is something that needs to be stayed intact for sure. And I know many times I have recommended to the governor that the person who got out of prison will be served their community supervision time. Those things were better than expected over people who got the terminal and began treatment homes. This one is unusual. It's interesting. Maybe it brings up some questions that we don't normally have, but it is unusual in the fact that it's a good prognosis if you can get this transplant done before something else happens to you. I would definitely not do anything to recommend to go back into a prison cell because they just can't control the environment enough and without the immune system you can get in 2 weeks from an infection that they didn't catch and couldn't treat. But I agree with that part, but I'm inclined to send a recommendation to the governor to commute the prison time. So we need to release as soon as possible, but to maintain the expired 1 year, 1 month community supervision on his term. And I, you know, that's one of the things that could be needed, but it's had a difficult time getting rid of community supervision and start a lifetime probation with the type of crimes that were involved. But I'm going to listen to a discussion from my fellow board members and hope this is a tough one to figure out.
Mr. Jones?
Yeah, I'll keep it short, and I'm sure there's going to be some further discussion, but I want to be clear on this. I cannot support bypassing the criminal justice system. In this case, lifetime probation for a dangerous crime against children, so he can see people out of state, was a good prognosis. This is not to say that if there's some way that this can be written, that's appropriate and recognizing that he has a lot of information, I'm open to that discussion, but I can't agree on that.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I'm of the same accord. I noted that Mr. Gold's sentence was a mitigating sentence as it was. He received 2 years less than presumptive. So to start with a mitigated sentence, it is a dangerous crime against children, and I would not support removal neither of the community supervision that's required as part of the sentence itself or the lifetime probation, either one. I would not. And registration is a separate issue. I don't think that has any bearing. I think that's going to happen no matter what. But I could not support it. I feel a great deal of empathy, especially for his mother and being distant. I mean, I had a medical situation where I was distant from my family and I wasn't there to help. I mean, it's very difficult. But I just could not recommend anything beyond commuting the 4 years, but there was a certain number of days. 4 years, a certain number of months, and 10 days that he's asking for. I could not go 4 years, 2 months, and 10 days at the time of the application. Beyond recommending that, I could not support any further recommendation, any further reduction. Thank you.
I'm in agreement with my colleague. I can't see commuting. You're right, he had a mitigated sentence, and not only did he have a mitigated sentence, but he also had a sentence that was two sentences that ran concurrent to each other. But I understand the medical issue, and I'm not sure just how to deal with that, which I'm sympathetic to, but I think we also have a duty, you know, to protect the victims as well as the community. And I'm telling you, I'm just alarmed by some of these pictures that was in his phone, which, you know, someone included a baby, you know, and it wasn't his, but with a penis that was exposed and appearing as though the penis had ejaculated on a baby. I mean, we're going down. I just can't see it. He has an 80% chance. We have to do something to make sure that activity is monitored. And I'm telling you, at this stage, and for what he's asking, I'm not supportive of commuting his sentence over to the government. Maybe some type of you know, I could understand maybe he was released out on community supervision where he was still being supervised and still had the ability to be hospitalized during that period of time. I could see something like that, but commuting his sentence and having him being released to California with no supervision, and then, you know, a year from now, with the transplant, everything could go well, which I would, you know, certainly hope and pray that it does, but I just cannot, I cannot concede the sentence. He needs to be under some type of supervision, and I think that that's just, I just have a hard time.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I could not remove times you expect him to completely eliminate all of this. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know for a fact, but if I'm not mistaken, the lifetime probation would have to be done under an everyday compact like any other kind where California got accepted, because there is a responsibility, if not direct supervision, but there isn't, you know, they're responsible to keep track of it. And of course, the sex offender registration is, if he had, you know, if you go around and do it, you need to register. It's just,
Gentlemen, if I can just jump in real quick, this is Dr. Abbas. My medical team is waiting for me to start seeing patients. Is there any, I don't want to cut this short, I really appreciate everyone's time and the opportunity to weigh in. It seems like from a medical decision standpoint, you guys, I hopefully have conveyed kind of Brandon's current situation. Is there any final questions I can ask for you? And if not, I ask that maybe I'd be allowed to go and get a day going in the hospital here.
Okay, yes, sir, that's fine. We don't have any questions for you. We really do appreciate your testimony this morning, and we appreciate the fact that you're giving us your report, such good treatment. And I want to thank you for working out in that center, because there are a lot of people that are coming out of there that are living in those days that wouldn't have been 20 years ago. So, you know, it's good.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And let me also say, I've been in Arizona for 5 years. This is the first time I've had to work with the Department of Corrections on a patient, and I have to say that the professionalism from Dr. Liddell and his team, the respect from the staff and from Dr. Bolt's guards, and the way this whole process has gone, it's the first situation where we're taking a terrible prisoner, and it's exceeded all of my expectations that certain situations will come up again. But I thank everyone from the Department of Corrections and the board for everything you guys have done for my patients.
All right. Well,
thank you guys. Have a wonderful day. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so back to the discussion. I think that what I do is to make a motion to pass this forward to the governor with the recommendation of a commutation of the actual incarceration period of the sentence, but the community supervision and the lifetime probation and the sex offender registration all remain intact. I can, in conscience, make the lifetime probation and sex offender registration is really kind of out of the picture. And so with that lifetime probation, he's going to have to go through the everyday compact process anyway. And just, you know, community supervision doesn't even have to go in and see the PO or people. Sometimes I've talked to lots of POs that put people on minimum supervision, and they call roughly every month, and if they don't hear from them, they open the form. Other than that, it's not really paid supervision, but the POs are there, they pay attention, and things will arrive there on top of it. So I think my motion is to pass it forward to the governor for consideration and commutation of the incarceration portion of the sentence, and the lifetime probation, community supervision, more than lifetime probation, and the sex offender registration would be made intact, and that would be my motion.
Second.
I disagree.
So it's a tie. We have to discuss it until we get a decision one way or another. Mr. Johnson, what's the disagreement with my motion?
It may just be what I stated.
Well,
I agree, gentlemen. Ms. Lester, can I ask you a question, sir?
Mm-hmm.
So if a person's on community supervision, they would work with him. If they were in the hospital and under these conditions, what would they do? But I mean, from a parole stance, because we're leaving. He's on lifetime parole.
Probation.
Lifetime probation. So that's a whole different department than the parole department.
That is correct. Probation is through Maricopa County. I believe it's the, oh, actually, Region of Highland County is the county was in through. But as far as the state of Arizona with parole, he would have supervision, which if he was in the hospital, it would be verified that he was in the hospital. He would have conditions that if he was released from the hospital, he would have to report to the parole office. If he failed to do so, an obligation for his arrest, he would be returned to custody.
If he was unable to, but they would work with him if he was unable to go.
Correct. If there was verification that he was in the hospital and he was incapacitated and was unable to leave, we had it on supervision that are being monitored and they'd be in the hospital and just with the stipulation that as soon as they're released, they have to return to the parole office.
I'm just not supportive of commuting that sentence to remove the parole department from that process.
The motion is to just commute the incarceration. He would still have to remain supervision and lifetime probation and sex offender registration. And the reason that I don't want to leave the community supervision anywhere is that the first year is a year in one month, so he's got at least a year of supervised time. And then he worked as a member of lifetime probation, normally it's minimum supervision and you know, phone calls are so often they just don't hear their name coming from the police department that are going out. They still are out there having an employee on some other basis, despite their sense of registration. So I know it wasn't to get rid of that period of supervision.
Mr. Canales, what's your objection to the motion when I was
It's not your motion, it's just fundamentally, I'm not sure if this is a recommendation that would be supported by the governor in general sort of totality. But I do remain open. And not based on a lack of compassion. I'm concerned about bypassing a really important part of the criminal justice system.
Okay. I understand. And I have no idea what the government might say about one way or the other.
But we'll take it.
The compassion inside of me, and having personal experience within my family of this type of disease, the compassionate part of me wants to see him released from the jail portion of the, you know, the prison bars, so that he can get the correct treatment, so that he can have a chance to return to society and not be. But when you look at the totality of the crimes and you know, dangerous crimes against children, that's where I well, I'm going to ask for the commutation of the required community supervision, which is. And we don't get everybody too, but releasing from jail so he can get treatment and the balance of his sentence would be community supervision. So it's like 4 years of community supervision. That might be the thing, that's probably a better way to do it. And the probation and the sex offender registration or state attack, regardless.
I just, in listening to the entire conversation, it's almost, and what I'm hearing, and I could be hearing it differently, you can tell me if I'm hearing it differently, but what I'm hearing is that he wants to go to California and complete that time in California. I really don't see any way. I think he needs medical treatment, and he needs some things done now. But that's only going to happen here. You know, there's not going to be time to, even if his sentence was, you know, this went to the governor, his sentence was commuted, and he still had lifetime probation, he still had the parole, he wouldn't be eligible right away to go to California. You know, he had to have something set up here that worked with the parole department as well as the probation department to do something here. And I'm not hearing that there's anything in place for that in the doctor.
Well, I'm sure if he stays here, could go ahead and access and you probably stay right where that out there. He's at a point now where they're probably preparing for the stem cell thing, which means they've got to find a donor and all that stuff. If he's fairly healthy, then they're going to have depressed immune system. And they gave him an infusion of good blood, and that boosts everything up and works for a while. And they have to keep track of that. And once they get the stem cells and they're in transplant, then it's like 60, 90 days. It's a long period of time from the time they start the stem cell process until they, you know, say you can go back out into society. And right now, is from what they're saying, same thing with my cousin, is that these infusions, they've gotten rid of all of the leukemia. Not to say it might not come back, but they've gotten rid of it. And bone marrow hasn't recovered its ability to make all the parts it needs to make for your blood. So that's why they did infusions. One thing I have is continuing infusions and they heard with time. You know, it's my thing on that.
I understand that, but.
But I understand that if he can't go to California, then access will, you know, he can be access. And he'd still be able to get the treatment, he just doesn't have the family support locally that they prefer to see happen with.
No, he said, I could be wrong, but I thought Dr. Voss said that without the family support, they wouldn't do it. They have to have their family support here, somebody here, to be able to do that.
They prefer.
That's correct. Dr. Odell, that's correct.
Which one's correct?
Mr. Johnson, what you just said about Dr. Abbas, the familial support is one of the requirements for initiation of the allogeneic stem cell transplant.
Okay, so in other words, if he doesn't have family support here, they wouldn't do it here.
What I gathered from Dr. Abbas, and actually met with the patient and the team last Friday, I looked at their guideline, which are national guidelines, and then they would probably ask the family or try to make some other arrangements. But primarily, if I'm not mistaken, I'll quote what Dr. Abbas said, is they typically like not only familial support, but there is a distance from the hospital that's necessary to ensure that the patient will be able to get back and forth to the facility. That's what I remember hearing from Dr. Abbas. So there are a lot of different variables outside of just the mental support, but that is one of the top priorities or criteria for the allogeneic stem cell transplant. May I add one more thing? Is there any way, and I do apologize for this, I have a couple other meetings. I know we have another patient on the docket. Could I either be called later or rescheduled for that one? Because it's been about an hour and a half. In this case, I didn't expect to have that much time.
The family is
here, so.
The only thing is that we do have the family here for Mr. Baker, and that would probably be a hardship as we try to conclude this. We'll try to, if you would just bear with us, try to, you know, conclude on this, and then get your information on the on Mr. Baker right away, so that you then could be. You could go ahead with the rest of your duties, Doctor.
Sorry, Doctor. This one is a little bit.
Very unique. I get it. I have no problem. I want you guys to have all the information necessary to make the best decision. So I'm not going to stand.
Okay. And there's been an interstate contact issue where
anyway. So if he was released on community supervision, he's got to get permission to go to California. Now, part of the time, if we put rules forward to the governor with the idea that he's going to be on community supervision forever at the time, there's a time period from now until the governor says yes or no. And during that time period, I think they can could start the process for the interstate compact so if everything is done according to the laws and it's not me. I mean, the other thing in the beginning, how this would be, he would be not behind bars so that he could hopefully move into that position where he's sitting home or out there, banner, or in some place where you can get the stem cell treatment. And, you know, I hate to try to force his mother to move over here for it, but I think that if that was the only option to get the treatment, then she would move her whole household.
I can't move out there. I take care for my mom and dad as well. So Brandon has no family support out there. There would just be no way. It's basically like a sentencing of death.
Very, very, very tough position with one of these things like this because, when I have compassion and empathy and understand that part of it, but we also have to look at the best interest of the state of Arizona, the citizens of the state of Arizona. And the Biden men are serious and fortunately, one of the victims came forward to the police before it actually happened as far as any contact, specific contact. That's terrible. And Brandon has, in his treatment, he had a very good chance of going on with his life in society. And that's why we're having some problems with this, because the lifetime probation is something that is, a lot of times we might see that probation done on his heart, but it's not that way. And same thing with the federal registration. I don't know whether he's notified him and, and on that, but he's at least supposed to register any time he moves. And there isn't, when you move somewhere else, you have like so many days to register or you can get in trouble for it. So all that can be done, the probation officers are usually very understanding in unusual circumstances. So, we have to look at both sides of this. And if it was a perfect world, and we'd say, well, it's perfect, and we know that Brandon has made his mind, he's not going to ever repeat those kind of actions, and we can know that, then it would be a whole lot easier. But we don't know that, and we have to watch out for the interest of society, and in this case, children. Other people's children were affected very seriously by his actions, and we understand that that he's your son and that you want to help him and everyone else, but we also have to consider other children in the community that they could be affected after he gets himself and his wife. He could get that again and move forward with it. So
I get that and I understand, but I don't know where he would live in Arizona. I don't know where he'd go.
Okay, that's true. The thing is, our issue is not where he would live in Arizona, it's what's the best interest of the state when we recommend something for him. And when I say the state, I mean the citizens of the state of Arizona, particularly the children. And
okay.
So a lot of consideration.
I understand that.
How long he might have to be here is whether or not we want, how much freedom we want to recommend the governor give him. And in this case, we were pretty much in agreement that not the only thing that we really want to say is to let him out of prison bars, but to be on community supervision for the rest of his term. And then his lifetime probation and versus sex offender registration is any release from prison, he's got to register within whatever the time period is. So we're going to move forward with our process here now.
So after the discussion, so, you know, it's, I think we actually all are the same mind on this. I don't think we're really disagreeing as a matter of wording. And so with the discussion, I'm going to make a new motion. And the motion would be to pass this forward to government with the recommendation that the incarceration period of this sentencing be commuted to community supervision for the balance of the term of the sentence, and the lifetime probation and sex offender registration will stay intact. And that would be my motion.
Can I say something to you guys?
I'll go over deliberation.
So it just passed because there's no second.
Okay, well, somebody make a counter motion then. Or tell me what's. I thought my motion was exactly what we just all agreed on. Okay, our discussion was, you know, the only thing that we wanted to see happen was that he could be released from the incarceration part so he could be treatment, but he still has to be on lifetime probation, still has to register as a sex offender, and I kind of want to say that whatever he has left on any 8-year sentence would be free to sue.
And the reason that I'm not in agreement is that when we're asking the governor to release somebody, put them on, to release them, put them on a condition, however, according to the doctor, unless he has some family support here, he's not going to be eligible to be in that program. Right, but that's, you know, he's not eligible if he's in that, if he doesn't have a family support.
The only way you can do it is to either deny him open, or, you know, what you're saying, so he can put it back on where he has family support, then you have to eliminate everything else. Because even if he goes right out to a lifetime probation, he's still got to go through the probation department and get their permission to go to California. And if they're looking at it, they have to get California to agree to supervise.
So, based on the totality of all of the circumstances of what surrounds us, which is a very, very difficult situation, I'm just not in favor of passing it on to the governor, period.
Are you making a counter motion, Mr. Jones?
I'm just stating what my position on it is.
Well, I'm going to make a counter motion, and that is not to recommend to the governor's office for 1 second. Mr. Brandon Bolt, ADC number 299035, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Disagree.
Before you guys start on something, can I at least say one more thing?
I'll just make sure we close this.
Okay, sir. The board has voted to not pass this form to the governor. So, at this point in time, you're so incarcerated, not to serve your term out, and as far as any treatment goes, that's something that you're going to have to work with the doctors and DOC staff on. And you want to make a comment, sir?
Wait, repeat what you said?
Pardon?
Repeat what you said?
Okay, so the board is voted not to move the story to the governor with any type of recommendation for release. So
why is that?
Pardon?
Why is that?
I didn't make the motion or agree with it, so I can't
tell them that there was a great concern for the safety of the children and the swing state where they were.
So my question is, you know, if you're not pushing this forward to the governor, then that's pretty much sending you to the death penalty.
Well, no, that's not what we said.
That's pretty much what you guys are saying, though.
So we have to work it out with his doctor.
So my question, you guys is you're pretty much saying setting me up for dead,
sir. Okay, we had a discussion about it. The board threw the money over to not move forward with a recommendation to the governor. It's not in essence. It is an obstacle in the way of your treatment. But there, I don't know what all the alternatives are or anything, but that's what the board voted, and that's how it stands at this point in time. So there won't be any more discussion before your hearing. Thank you for attending, and we wish you the best.